Thank you for joining us this morning. What we'd like to do is just talk you through some aspects around project controls, best practices. Ecosys is a software company, in case you are unfamiliar with the brand. And I'll talk very briefly about the company background, but essentially, through multiple deployments of the platform that we have, we've learned some lessons, and I hope to share some of that today in this session. The team that you'll have with you today is, the team that you'll have with you today includes myself, Mervyn George. I have a background in the SAP space, working for SAP, and in a different capacity as well. But also focus on aspects around issues that you have with the user interface of applications. So I spend a lot of time looking at challenges that you have with working with Excel, for example, when in fact you need to work with tools like ERP applications. And for those of you who are familiar with SAP, very old, out-of-date interface that you can work with quite often. So I'm going to be talking you through the software and also be talking you through some of the best practices and lessons learned that we've integrated into the design. With me is my colleague, Laurent. So Laurent has been involved in enterprise software for multiple decades. He has a background with Primavera and with Oracle, acting in a senior leadership position across the European, Middle Eastern, and African space. And I'll invite him to share some of the answers to questions that you might have at the end of the session as well. And with us is also a colleague named Federico, who is currently at the booth, just busy with a couple of discussions. So we are happy to speak to you about any aspects around project controls or about the software platform itself. So in terms of the topic today, basically we're trying to get a sense of what the full project lifecycle entails, and how we can try to improve the insight and the analysis that you can get from the data if you're using a platform that is adequately designed for effectively capturing information and also effectively putting it into a format that you can consume. Okay, so we'll be looking at things like improving efficiency and accuracy and effectiveness of project controls, and importantly, achieving visibility and being able to be more predictive with the outcomes of projects. This is the agenda, so a very brief introduction in terms of who Ecosys is, and we'll talk briefly about the state of projects today, and then look at how to leverage technology for best practice implementations, and then I'll show you some of the software as well. So we'll do that live, and give you just a taste of what Ecosys has to offer in this space. So Ecosys was founded in 2000. The original leadership team and designers of the what we call Ecosys EPC, the software platform, were the original designers of the Primavera P6 product, which was then sold on. We also focused on the implementation of project controls in an early stage, but have now adopted that in the design of the software application as well. And the partner network's quite strong. There are lots of system integrators that are keen to work with the technology and to promote the technology across the custom organizations. And the industry coverage is also quite strong. So oil and gas, utilities, transportation. And we've got a couple of example brands that I'll put up on the next slide. And we've recently been acquired by Intergraph, which is the leading plant design and engineering software firm. That's fairly fresh, and it also means interesting changes for us. We get to play in the 5D and 6D building information modeling space now, and we get to add cost and project lifecycle status dimensions to other aspects of plant design as well. But these are some examples of deployments of Ecosys around the world. I've just bundled them into engineering contractor firms, and oil and gas utilities firms, and a bigger bundle at the bottom there for transportation, public sector, defense, manufacturing, mining, basically anywhere where you have large projects or mega projects would benefit from having a tool that's proven over time to be stable, proven to be reliable, but also fit for purpose. So what about the state of projects today? Should there be a warning sign going off? Are things on track? If we look at what's driving the industry, globalization of competition is one big aspect. So new dynamics, new competitors are emerging. Project teams are crossing boundaries, so multiple locations. With that comes a lot of complexity and dependencies on time differences, for example. Projects are getting bigger. I think there was it was Accenture that said in the next 15 years, there's a total investment of about $60 trillion expected by resource industries. So projects are obviously getting bigger, and with that, you start to realize that doing a lot of it in Excel, doing a lot of the management of cost in Excel is not necessarily the best idea. And with that comes the increase in complexity, as well as the acquisitions and joint ventures that add its own elements of organizational complexity and uncertainty to the mix. So the struggle to control projects continues. Just a few stats. If we look at the PwC survey, I'll let you have a look at some of the other stats there. But you've got cost overruns of 157% across six nuclear plants. One refinery budgeting at $4 billion, but final forecast three times as much. So I'm pretty sure most of us in the room would want to catch an exception like that at an early stage, or at least have a much more predictive approach to being able to determine such a negative impact or outcome at an early stage. If we look at the challenges to effective project controls, so poor planning would be one. And not just poor planning in terms of which tools, but poor planning in terms of teams and in terms of locations and in terms of how the organization will be set up. Information silos or lack of integration, and that could stem from anything to do with the both parties on either side of a joint venture, or it could just be down to biases that we might have as human beings, not wanting to work with other cultures. Poor visibility and reporting, I think, is a key one. As I mentioned previously, I spent a few years talking about the challenges that multinational organizations are trying to handle by using Excel and Outlook as the dominant factor in workflow-based processes. And one of the challenges that you've got there is that it doesn't quite work for what you need. So, for example, while you might have this really complex spreadsheet that you think is giving you the output and the information you need, there's a big gap in an approval process, there's a big gap in making sure that the versions of the spreadsheet are consistent around the world, and also that you're getting the right insight or the right level of detail from that. Added to that, the inability to act on the information that it's actually being produced. So, as an example, this is what a project controls flow of data could look like in a very manual setup. So you've got a lot of information coming from timesheets, coming from procurement, coming from your general ledger, and a lot of that is being manually extracted into Word documents or into Excel or into paper-based reports that you're having to print out and sit in board meetings with. And what we're trying to do is to improve that or to reduce the dependency on some of those manual or non-integrated approaches. I'll talk very briefly about the integration elements and where we tapped into the most commonly used other software applications that we find in implementations within project controls domain as well. One of our customers did a survey of their own and found that of the time that they were spending, 61% of the time was spent on issues. So they were spending 20% fixing issues with the general ledger or correcting codes, 16% of the time correcting codes that could have been caught at the point of entry into those systems. Or, for example, spending a lot of time manually downloading data so that they could use it in one of these paper-based or manual types of reports. I will show what the success or outcome of that looked like at the end. But effectively, I'm sure you'd agree that that's a lot of time that could be better optimized or better utilized doing something else. So before we venture into the jungle of trying to figure out exactly how to navigate our way through a better approach, we should at least do some research and get a sense of what's out there and which technologies can actually support this. The system is actually quite a critical piece of the puzzle. So you can choose a system, but you can also choose the system that's best fit for purpose, that is either taking care of the flexibility of the process that you need to map, or has something out of the box that is tried and tested and deploys an industry standard. Ecosys started as a very highly configurable application where you could pretty much design anything you wanted to. But over those 250 deployments that we, or 250 to 300 deployments that we've seen, there were certain best practices that have been figured out and gone through trial and error type processes and ultimately came about as part of the out-of-the-box application. And I'll show you some of that today. So some of the considerations we want to look at when choosing a system or choosing a technology platform to support your operations would include trying to deploy best practices or standardized processes, but at the same time trying to have a certain element of flexibility that you can control, and also making sure that the users would use it. Okay, so that's obviously taking into account the perspectives of multiple different teams within the company. Then you have the challenge of trying to automate very mundane or manual tasks, like loading data or downloading data. But you also want to make sure that you can scale that, so you don't want to do it manually. You want to have certain things running automatically in the background. For example, if you're importing actual data from an ERP application, or if you're importing, let's say, certain attributes or status updates from a scheduling system, you might want to have that running in the background, so you don't have to worry about doing that on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And then also looking at integration. So how much of that do we leave to manual clicking, or how much of that do we feel is much better automated and happening in the background? And then three other dimensions would be around the predictive nature. So how do we get the right data out? How do we get the right insight derived from the information that's in a system, hoping that the information in the system is correct, that covers or spans the full life cycle, is meaningful, and also is visible and available to the right people within the organization. So in terms of the high performance approach, what we've seen taking place over multiple deployments is that one of the objectives should be to make sure that we get the entire company acting on the same information. Okay, so it might have different contexts, but we want to make sure that that can at least have visibility and the ability to act on the same information. Adopting and standardizing. So standardizing is not as straightforward as it may seem, and putting that into a tool means you want to try and get the best version of that on day one. And having that standardization, looking at the full project lifecycle as well. And then aligning and integrating silos and disparate processes. So breaking down any communication gaps. You know, technology is not the only solution, but it's definitely one solution that can make it much easier for communication to just be that little bit more natural in a multicultural and also in a multinational team. And then to evolve with the business. So what you've deployed in phase one is not necessarily the final picture. We need to keep looking at how the team's evolving, how the project controls organization is evolving, how the internal and external stakeholder relationships are evolving as well, and then start to tweak that deployment accordingly. So if we focus briefly on the first one, getting the entire company seeing and acting on the same info, what we've focused on with Ecosys EPC is three dimensions. And a lot of the investment in the design of the tool goes into these three dimensions. One is on planning and controls. So if you have no other applications that are supporting you to do, setting up of your projects and the structures within your projects and all of the important attributes that that you need to define, as well as looking at the full life cycle, it can do it as well. But if you've got other applications in the landscape, you can obviously import those. Reporting is another key factor. So it's not only about getting the data in, but it's also about making sure that the data is meaningful. And then integration, to make sure that all of the other systems of choice or strategic applications in your landscape are feeding in and consuming data from Ecosys. These are a few scenarios in which the EcoSys platform is typically deployed. So capital planning, portfolio management, and I'll show you some examples of interesting dashboards that you can get at that level. Project cost controls, progress measurement, earned value management, estimating workforce planning, and then shutdown or outage scenarios as well. Like I said, the tool is quite flexible, and when you do adopt the technology, it's one platform, but you can basically enable whichever of those components are relevant to the specific need that you have. If we look specifically at the life cycle, the project life cycle, this is typically where the platform fits in. So from budgeting for your fiscal year, looking at forecasts and commitments, looking at actuals and progress or performance, changes throughout that life cycle as well, and then closeout, that's pretty much what EcoSys EPC can offer, right? The ability to manage that end-to-end process, while at the same time feeding off data that's coming from your financial planning systems, whichever ERP application that might be, or general ledger application that might be, and then your project or resource management or scheduling applications, such as Primavera or Microsoft Project. Looking at EcoSys as a hub, there are quite a few common brands that we noticed, and in terms of the integration partners that we have certified with, SAP and Primavera are part of those. But there are multiple ways in which you can get data in and out, which means there's always the possibility to integrate with one of the other systems that are taking care of scheduling, document management, time management, resource management, and so on. But typically within EcoSys, you can import the data from various leading systems. So if you're using Primavera, for example, you might have your projects and your dates and your schedule defined in there, and you want to import that data to avoid having to redefine that inside your cost control tool. Okay, so you can import that. You might find that a lot of that information is also sitting inside an ERP application, and at that point we look at which one is the master system and which one is the dependent system. But also in your ERP application, you've got commitments, purchase orders, work orders, your actual expenses, timesheets that can be imported as well. Other data sources, so you quite often have a document management system that you need to work with or interact with, and timesheet systems that would feed into the overall analysis of cost. So within EcoSys EPC, you'd be doing things like we've mentioned before, budgeting and forecasting, change management, earned value calculations, and then potentially pushing some of that information back out to different people or to different places or destinations in your broader landscape. When the platform was built, it was built as a web-based tool, a browser-based tool, just to make it easier to access. Not sure how many technology enthusiasts there are in the room, but that's obviously a trend that's been on the go for the last sort of 5 to 10 years. But it was built with intuitive interaction and the user experience being top of mind. So there are obvious advantages in terms of rolling this out to a large team or even a small team that's based in different locations, is that you don't have to worry too much about what's being installed on each of the machines. So there are multiple ways to deploy this, and if you want to know more about that, we can talk about that in a bit more detail. What we have realized in terms of adopting best practices is that it's good to do it in a phased approach. Quite often you're trying to choose a solution, and if that solution is a technology solution, somebody might be advocating a certain choice of vendor, you know, and at the same time you might find that you haven't quite figured out exactly what the methodology should be. So we always tend to deploy using a phased approach, and we've seen that work really well. And the sequence may be completely different depending on the context that you're in. But typically, the incremental chunks that you could look at would be standardizing the project structures. You might well have various different levels of granularity across different programs, and trying to introduce at least an understanding of what the standardization should look like. What your estimating approach or budgeting approach might be, and also how you intend to do certain snapshots of that data. So when you want to do comparisons or trend analysis over time. Then introducing things like risk management. You may have, again, you may have a dedicated way in which you do that, or you might want to implement that using a configurable tool or a custom-built tool. Contract and commitments management. Again, what we tend to find is that that means something big to one person, and to others it just means we need a purchase order number. So understanding what it's about and deploying that could be quite a straightforward step that you add on. And then other dimensions like introducing progress management. You may already have systems in place for this, but you may want to extend that data into further, you know, end-to-end reporting or insight to see how that affects the portfolio as a whole. Okay, so these are just some examples of incremental adjustments to adoption of technology to help you understand some of these aspects. Okay, so very briefly, some of the features, and I'll show you some of this with EcoSys. You have the option to map your organizational breakdown structure as well as your work breakdown structure and a cost breakdown structure. So lots of coding options to make sure that when you're reporting, you can see the data as expected. Here's an example of an alternate breakdown structure. So while you do have the typical work breakdown structure on top, you might have certain elements within that hierarchy that are specifically for the mechanical business unit or the engineering business unit, and you can flag those attributes as well. And we also enable various forecasting methods or forecasting approaches, and I'll show you this too. So being able to compare what, which forecasting method you want to use at a certain level of progress of the project and also each level within the project, it gives you the flexibility to make those adjustments and to set up a very complex version of that if you like. So at this point, I'm going to just show you a little bit about the tool, actually log into the tool and give you a sense of what it looks like and try to illustrate some of those points that we've just mentioned. Like I said, it is browser-based. Let me just make sure that I'm showing this to you as well and not just to myself. And the first user I'm going to log in with is a dashboard user. I configured some of this yesterday and the other bits this morning. But the idea with this is that somebody could log on potentially and just view some charts. In this case, I'm going to start with a bubble chart. So this is tracking the NPV, net present value, of each project, a project score that's been calculated a certain way, and the overall cost. Okay, it's looking at it from a portfolio perspective, and potentially you could filter by portfolio to change what's actually being displayed on the screen. And the nature of the tool is that you can actually set this up so that you click on one of those bubbles and then it shows you a bit more information. Where we've seen this work really well in one of our client examples is where their board meetings would typically have large A2 pages printed out before the meeting and they'd have to pass these around. And instead now they just hand out a selection of iPads or tablets and they can interact with the detail in the charts directly in the meeting instead of having to do the printouts. So here's a different version of the same thing where you can see the breakdown, you know, by ease to complete, financial benefit, resource impact. There's a lot of logic that you can introduce in the tool to color code certain things. So using conditional formatting like you have in Excel, where you can say if the value of this is greater than X, then put it in a certain format. You might want to drill down into detail like you have here for a time-phased view of the budget. So the original budget, the current budget, you could see certain forecast values thrown into there as well, and the actuals as well. So even at this level, you could click and view another level of detail if it's relevant for the type of user. And at the same time, you might want to have a form-based view where you just view all the detail for a single project or a single program in this type of snapshot view, and then say something like, please review this, and it goes into a work list that gets emailed to somebody or needs to be actioned by somebody as well. Okay. Another example might be where you just want to look at your projects from a portfolio perspective and get a sense of the budgets by period, and then have the option to change which of those portfolios you're looking at. or potentially that you want to look at it from a dashboard perspective, where somebody can go in and type up a narrative, and they can say, this is why the figures look the way they do, and you might have someone with the edit rights to go and maintain this, and somebody else that just logs on and looks at the information and uses the information as is. So a lot of this can be customized. What we produce is a series of these dashboards and also screen components that are out of the box, taking into account what we've seen implemented and what we've seen works in various aspects. So setup of projects, setup of budgets, setup of or import of progress and commitments and actuals, and then also your forecasting, as well as some of the typical reports and insight that is expected. So I'm going to log off from this user, and I'll just log on as a different user, so as an admin user, and I'll briefly show you some of the out-of-the-box functionality for adding the detail. So this is opening up with a portfolio view again, which just has a Gantt chart and some drill-down potential showing up over there. I'm going to go into the project setup screen, and typically this is where you'll define your workflow rules, your budget approval rules. You'll set up the attributes like, if I take one of these, I'll select the dates, the currency, so you can have currency at the organizational level, project level, and work breakdown structure level. Under forecasting, you might have an approach that says, if your progress is within 0 to 10%, use forecasting method A. If it's within 10 to 25%, use a different forecasting method for your estimate at completion, and so on. And you can have that logic that then rolls down into your forecasting screens. So here you've got some dates, you've got currency and rates, and then you've got a bunch of other screens here where you can define threshold values for your budget approval, and so on. What you might also find is that you don't want to view it from that perspective, you want to group it by the portfolio, so I'm going to select that and just refresh that view, and that's going to display it in a slightly different representation, and if I click on one of those projects, it's going to open up with a bit more detail sitting behind that, as well as who the list of workflow approvers might be for the different levels of approval. What we've identified is that there are common tasks that are expected, and throughout the tool you'll see a place where you can manage the data, a place where you can see a log of what's actually changed, who's changed it, when they've changed it, and a place where you can launch things, so launch budgets for approval, for example. If I were to go into the detail of the work breakdown structure, this is where I can either see what that structure looks like today, or I can see how you can easily import information. So if I go to the import tab, you could quite easily get this from an Excel spreadsheet by clicking on the import function and choosing the file or choosing a text file. And if you don't have the template, and let's say you want to get that template sent out to somebody who is potentially outside of the company that's going to contribute to that information, you could easily export that and it goes into your Excel template ready for population by whomever it is that needs to maintain that information. So you quite easily have an Excel file that has the structure and allows somebody to then capture the information. And this can work for importing of the structure of the project, importing of the budget line items, importing of the commitments and actuals if you don't have a fully integrated solution. If we look at the original budget, similar thing. Over here you can see two types of budgets, so you can have the unapproved costs and you can have the approved costs as well. So in this one, all of them have been approved, but if I look at the detail beneath it, you could have that visible in a time-phased approach as well. So this is telling me what that spend looks like across multiple currencies down at the bottom here, and also what the distribution looks like over the relevant periods that are part of that project duration. Moving on to commitments, this is something that you may choose to import manually or may choose to import from, for example, from an SAP system or a purchasing system in the background. So you can import line items, you can import header details, and you can have vendor numbers and requisition numbers in there as well, or purchase order numbers. And that feeds into a register that then can then be summarized and rolled up into an overview or budget status report that you might want to work with. If I look at the project budget status dashboard that we've got here, this one shows how some of that imported information can then be used to gain a bit more insight. So you can see the original budget color-coded for the chart at the bottom. Pending changes, approved changes, you can see your commitments and your actuals. And if you clicked on one of those links, like the actuals, you can actually see the list of those transactions sitting at the bottom. And what I might want to do is filter this based on, let's say, hours, where hours is greater than 100, and it introduces a filter. And you can apply multiple filters and then send that data out to somebody that needs to use that as an exception report. So it might be where you've had hours maintained, but the cost account ID that was used wasn't labor, it was materials, so there's a mismatch. And you might want to use that exception report for somebody to go and correct the information in the source system. Coming on to changes very briefly, what you have here is the option for managing change either while the either submitting your budget for initial approval or submitting changes while the project is live, so during the life cycle. And you can see all of the changes that have taken place as well as the costs associated with them. In the change register, you've got them grouped by status, so you can see all of the pending changes. And in the workflow process, you can actually then go and approve items that are relevant to the level that you have. In terms of progress, you can import progress indicators either directly from a scheduling application or if you're using Primavera P6, for example, that's one of the adapters that we've got certified by Primavera. But you can import at the WBS level. You can import for milestones if you're using milestones, and you can import for weighted quantities or even weighted man hours. All this could happen in the background, as I've said previously. But ultimately, what this is doing is it's giving you the option to then use that progress method to calculate what the overall percentage completion rate is for each level within a project and to calculate the earned hours or the earned cost. And that then feeds into the rest of your forecasting processes. But when we look at the detail behind that, if I clicked on weighted milestones, you'd have some breakdown over here that shows me what those steps are, what the weightings are, and what the actual completion percentages are, and how that rolls up into an overall completion rate. So those are just some examples of what's built into the tool, what we've tried to learn from multiple deployments and include in the application. And a big one there is also the ability to compare forecasting methods. So just as a final screen over here, this is showing me the forecasting or estimate to completion method used for each of the levels within my project. And I can see which one is selected using the color coding in the background. If there's a manual factor, that's going to calculate based on the current budget, or it's going to use open commitments and actuals, or it's going to use a previous forecast and give you the option to compare those in one easy to consume screen like you've got here. And again, each of these links could potentially give you a bit more detail about how those calculations were made. If you need to show the same type of screen to